Well, good morning, Russ. Thanks very much for joining me on the Content Marketing Academy podcast show. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I'm really, really good. I'm so pleased that you've joined me today. I'm really looking forward to just discussing a little bit about your journey and where content marketing has played a role. But first of all, I think it's important that the audience get a little bit of an understanding and context about your business. So what do you do?
So what do I do? I am a financial planner. And also, more recently, I have moved into consultancy work for family-owned businesses, which has kind of been a result of the content marketing journey I've been on as well. So it'll be interesting to cover that a little bit later on. But yeah, it's kind of a dual role, financial planning primarily and family business consultancy as an additional service now.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love what you're doing, and obviously Cara being in a family business as well, we're pretty close to all the stuff that goes on in family businesses. I don't know exactly why you've chosen that marketplace, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Yeah. So the type of business you're in, where did content marketing start? Like, it's become a thing for you? Like, when you think back, when it's sort of like, when was that moment where you're like, right, this is something that I really want to get into, something I really want to do?
So I predominantly my financial planning career has been within accountancy practices that have a marketing department, but also have quite a steady stream of introductions. And so the need for doing a huge amount of marketing in those organizations is not massive because there's kind of a line of introductions there for you. But 4 or so years ago, I moved to a much smaller financial planning organization, which has 4 employees and was about 85, 90 miles from my home. So I was working in a town where the business had not been heard of, and it was a relatively small business. So from that perspective, the need for me to shift into looking at the marketing side was quite apparent. And that was kind of the reason I was brought on, is somebody who could raise awareness of the business, what it is that we did, and try and drive that forward. I had then been kind of watching other financial planners who'd been doing it particularly well, and thought, actually, this is something that I need to start looking into, start embracing, and getting involved in. So that's where it started, really. It was kind of 4 years ago. When I joined the firm, I decided to write a book. I thought that was a good idea. And during that process, I interviewed a load of people for the book, and then realized that actually the book, it was okay, it's fine, it's still ready, it's not been published yet, but actually the likelihood of that book going out and being sort of reached by or read by more than 20 or 30 people was probably relatively low, because it wasn't really a book, it was more of a calling card rather than anything else. And so I thought, actually, the interviews I've done for the book have much more value in them. And so I do a weekly podcast, and that's where my podcast was born, was out of the concept of those interviews. So it's almost by accident as
Okay,
well.
so there's this clearly like this contrast between working in a larger company to working in a smaller company, and that need to have marketing as part of it. I'm right in saying that you sort of took that role on, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And that was kind of where I started to look into what this marketing thing was. And in particular, that's when I came across yourself and content marketing via Pete Matthew, who obviously has a very successful content marketing journey himself, and kind of started to delve a lot more into it. And it just made perfect sense. The type of work that we do with financial planning can be quite mysterious in some ways, in that we're not very good at communicating what it is we actually do. And I think a lot of the people in my profession try to make themselves look really clever by doing content that's aimed at their peers rather than at their actual clients or potential clients. And that was an opportunity that I saw as something that we could do differently as well.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a key fundamental lesson and practice in content marketing. We see all the time people that are trying to appeal to their peers because they want to be industry leaders, but they're not attracting all of that time and effort they're putting into their content isn't actually going to attract their actual paying clients, which in some ways is doesn't really make much sense. So I think a lot of people that have done really well with content content marketing the right way is that they've appealed to their main core client audience and built up the reputation, and they've actually got to the place they wanted to get to, but going in a different path, which is awesome. So for you then, and you said you sort of dropped it in there, which was it started to make sense. What is it that makes sense to you about the way that you go to market now? So why does content marketing make sense to you, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So take my personal experience of looking and researching any good or service that I'm going to purchase. I have questions that I don't want to feel stupid going into a car dealership or a stereo shop or whatever it is I'm looking to buy. So I will do my research before I go into the shop or make that decision to actually finally buy that product. And so if I'm looking for answers to those questions about the things that I'm buying, then why wouldn't my potential clients be doing the same? And when you think of it like that, it's so obvious that you think, well, yeah, of course, surely everyone is doing it then. But I think the point is that, as I said, a lot of the content is not being created to answer the questions or the perceived barriers that exist in terms of the people that would be looking to utilize our services. So by being able to do that, if you're looking online for, I don't know, what is financial planning versus what is financial advice or what is family business consulting, then I want to be the person that they find and be the person that answers that question. Now, whether they use me or not is up to them, but the fact that I'm answering those questions means I'm doing a good job because it's adding value to that person, whether or not they're then going to use me or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... it seems really obvious because it's how I do things. I go to Google and I type in blah, blah, blah and do some research on it. And then it helps make my mind up as to who I'm going to use or which service I'm going to buy or which product I'm going to buy. So why wouldn't I create content that helps my potential clients to do that as well?
Yeah, I think it's obvious when the thing is, I think, Russ, the challenge sometimes is that it's so simple. We think, how could it possibly be the answer that we're looking for? But I think you've hit the nail on the head there, that you just look at your own behavior when it comes to making a buying decision. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It doesn't matter. I mean, we've done interviews, Russ, with B2B companies, B2C companies. It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. People want to do the research. They want to feel like they have got that confidence before they, especially, I mean, you could argue that in terms of when someone's looking for a financial advisor or a consultant, you could argue that they've got very little trust to start with because they've had bad experiences or they know people have had bad experiences in the past. Especially when it comes to financial advice, I mean, how much do people trust people in finance these days, you know? Exactly. So I think we want to be creating that content that builds that trust, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about your podcast, actually. I think it'd be good to know a little bit about what kind of content you're creating at the moment. Do you want to give us a little insight into what content work you're doing just now?
Yeah, so I host a weekly-ish podcast. I've been doing it for just under 2 years and I'm at episode 58, so it shows you how weekly it is that I've only done 58 in that time.
Every other week.
Yeah, kind of. but effectively what I'm looking at is different trends and challenges that family-owned businesses face, and either talking about it myself or getting a leading world expert on the subject to come onto the show to talk about it and give their views on it. And the overall aim of the podcast is to provide a huge amount of resource for family businesses to be able to thrive off the back of the content that's there. It effectively looks at all the various different dynamics that happen within a family business and tries to answer those questions and challenges, because one of the bits of feedback that I receive from family-owned businesses is that they feel like they're alone. They feel like they're the only one with that family, but the challenges that they face are broadly similar. So by focusing on the challenges that they face and then interviewing family business owners that have been through that, again, it's trying to get the message out that you're not alone, that there is help out there, that there is support out there. And hopefully the content that is being created is being very useful to those families, and I've had feedback from families that have used it to say it has been. So it's been positive from that perspective as well.
How's the podcast shaping your career?
It's having a big influence on my career. So if we rewind back to the time I decided to do the podcast, as a financial planner, I looked at the market and there's 22,000 odd financial planners in the UK. And there was probably a handful of financial planning podcasts. So there was Andy Hart, there was Pete Matthew, obviously, who's the hugely successful one in that market. There was a few others that were coming into it. And I thought, actually, do I want to join that and become part of that noise? Or do I want to speak directly to the type of clients that I want to work with, which is family businesses? So I looked at family business podcasts and there were none. So I thought, well, that's where the opportunity lies, is speaking directly to my customers, because a lot of the financial planning podcasts get picked up by other financial planners rather than by potential clients. I know there's successful ones out there that are doing that. But I thought, if I want to speak to my clients, call it the Family Business Podcast. Don't focus on the fact that it's financial planning. Mm-hmm. But as a result, I've gone on this huge learning journey. So I've got probably 60 hours with the world's leading experts in family business. And I'm asking them the questions that I think my audience want answered. So I'm learning the answers as well. So it's like a double benefit for me in that I'm gaining a huge amount of diverse experience and knowledge around all these different subject matters that will only help me become a better financial planner. And it has led to me moving into family business consultancy over the last year to 18 months. So it's shifted me away from just focusing on financial planning and broadening the skill set and offering that I able to give to family businesses to include consultancy. And that's been a massive shift and just wouldn't have happened had I not started this content journey, because it just wouldn't have happened. I'd have been writing blog posts to other financial advisors to show how clever I am.
Yeah. I think your journey is leading. It's obviously you say to broaden your skill set, but by broadening your skill set, what's happened is it's allowed you to niche actually into that space, which is really interesting to me that you've made that conscious decision, however difficult it was, to sort of say, I'm not going to go in and be generally just talk about financial advice. I'm going to get really specific here and talk directly to family business owners. And I think that there's a lesson in there for everybody as well, is to look at the marketplace. Where is everybody else? Where's being underserved? Where could I go that's not just being underserved, but where I could serve well and be first to market? I mean, I just spoke to Pete Matthew, who's going to be on the same volume of interviews as yourself, Russ, which is kind of just a coincidence, to be honest. But he sort of mentioned the same thing when he was starting off in 2009. There was nobody else doing it. He was like first or very early to market. And there's something to be said for choosing that as the place to start, as like to say, there's a market that's been underserved. I'm going to go serve it. And then you sort of become that, you become known for that. And I think that's what's happening to you just now, though, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of this. We've been in touch recently and you were telling me that you're starting to become known as the family business guy, right?
Yeah. It's been kind of a strange thing, because one of the key things I thought about when creating the content as well is that it's not really about me. I don't want it to be the Russ Hayworth podcast. I want it to be the family business podcast, because the focus needs to be on the family business. But as a result of consistently being able to create content over 2 or 3 years, my voice got recognized at a conference I was at, which is bizarre, because normally it's, you know, people will see your face and go, I recognize you from somewhere. But somebody said, I recognize your voice from somewhere. And when I said I hosted the podcast, they're like, yes, that's it. And I mean, they were from Colombia, and it was just, it's crazy in that sense that, you know, I record the podcast at home or at the office, and it's listened to throughout the world. And the family business sort of academic and advice space is relatively small. It's still relatively new as well. It's only sort of really been going 30 years, which in terms of how old family businesses are, isn't very long at all. And I think because of that, and it's generally occupied by people who are more senior in age, shall we say, they don't embrace the opportunity that is out there to just hit record on a laptop and publish a podcast. It's relatively straightforward to do, but because other people weren't doing it, it created a huge opportunity for me. And now I'm starting to get known and recognized in that space, which is great.
Yeah, I'm so it's so good to see this, like this couple of years of hard work you're putting in, shifting your attention really into a different marketplace and then being recognized for it. And I know that you're getting opportunities all over the world now to turn up, and people are wanting your advice and they want to be associated with you and they want you associated with them as well. And those opportunities are now becoming your next big challenge, right? It's like, how do we, you know, what's next? How do we take this forward?
Yeah. And I think that the lesson there as well is that it does take time. I mean, I was looking back at the stats on the podcast, for example, on day one, I think there was 19 downloads and most of those were me trying to check that the download counter was working. I think now it's still relatively small numbers in terms of certainly in comparison to Pete. But the downloads now are 500 odd a day on a good day. And so it's creating that consistency and process to allow you to do that, that if you stick by it, and it's, I mean, I'm not saying it's the best podcast in the world, but it's the best podcast, I think, in the family business space. Mm-hmm. And it is growing, it is gaining momentum as a result of that. And that's been really important to me, is not be put off by the fact that in the first few weeks it didn't do much.
Yeah, I think it is important. I mean, it's a fairly common theme around people's journeys with content marketing, is that this is maybe something that you could maybe speak about, is that how do you get, like, when in the first few days you've got this, like, you're highly passionate, you know, you're highly emotional, highly motivated to do this podcast, and then you put it out into the world and then you get 19 downloads, and you can see, Russ, how people listening have been through that probably, or about to go through that, and they could be disheartened by it. What was it that kept you going? Like, what was it that kept you turning up?
I think part of it was I went along, having spoken to Pete about content marketing. He obviously introduced me to the Content Marketing Academy, yourself, and I came along to CMA Live 2017, I think it was, with Mark Schaefer. Mm-hmm. And listened to his talk and his book, Known, Pete's in that. And it's the mindset of, I don't see the podcast as work as such. It is a passion of mine. It is something that I want to give back anyway. And so I want to create that content and resource for people to utilize. And if it helps one person, then great. The key to it for me was knowing that it needs to be a long-term strategy. You can't do three bits of content and think, right, that's it, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And irrespective of how good they are, they will have a limited shelf life in terms of, you know, if you do three blogs and it's 3 years ago, people go into your site and thinking, well, that's a great blog, but it's 3 years since they did anything. Yeah. It's not sending the right message out. So by being consistent and keeping yourself accountable, it just gathers momentum. And from a podcast perspective, it is simply a numbers game. I've got 60 odd episodes now. So every time somebody subscribes, even if they download half of those or whatever their podcast player does, that's 30 downloads. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I had one subscriber and I had three podcast episodes, they're only going to download. So it's a simple numbers game, that consistency builds a momentum around it. They share it amongst other people. They share it amongst their family members, hopefully. And it grows through that as well. So I think the consistency and understanding that it's a long-term project was something that I was kind of advised very early on by yourself and by Pete, that it's, don't expect the results to be next week. And I think that's really key. One of the challenges, I've heard some of the interviews you've done already, one of the challenges is this buy-in from the people within your now. I don't want to cast aspersions over my previous employers, but the buy-in around content marketing just wouldn't have been there. I know it would have been like talking to a wall about it. Whereas the business I'm in now said, yeah, okay, I get it. I understand this is going to be a long-term thing. We're going to have to commit to this for a long time for it to be something that's going to generate what we want it to generate. And I've been fortunate in that sense. But that's also key for making sure you're doing it within the right organization as well. And particularly if it's your own business, you've got no excuses.
Yeah.
You haven't got permission.
there's always an excuse for not doing that. It's trying to unpack this and trying to get people to catch the vision. I mean, you're saying this long-term perspective. I mean, I remember Mark Schaefer's talk. I mean, I unpacked the whole thing just to kind of pick out all the lessons and the stories he shared were amazing. Oh. It was proof of this 30-month mindset is what he talked about, right?
Yep, so, completely.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you will get results throughout that process, but your best results are going to come in time, in that 2 to 3, somewhere between the 2 and 3 year mark is when you're going to start to really see traction through consistently turning up. I mean, we're talking about marketing here, right? Marketing is about consistency and frequency and commitment. And I mean, if you're not doing it, then what are you doing, you know, exactly, to get customers and to grow your business? So yeah. I think I love the way that your career is shaping. I know that there's a transformation happening for you. And I know that you're kind of in the middle of it, which is really interesting to me. See what happens as you take this journey, like even over the next year or so, what opportunities are going to come your way through becoming known in the family business space. That being early to market, it's like you've got a lot of the right sort of factors or the right choices you've made, and you've got them in place now. So it's just a matter of continuing to turn up and continuing to make the right choices, I think, is going to shape the rest of your career, which is awesome.
Yeah, and the big thing as well for me is trusting the process, if you like. So it took a lot of faith in myself to think, okay, I've got to take this long-term mindset because there are bumps in the road. You know, there are days where you think, why the heck am I doing this? Mm-hmm. But it's having that courage or conviction to say, okay, this is the area I want to be in, and I'm going to dedicate the next 2-3 years to making sure that I do the best possible job in creating that content. And that to me is the results are starting to come to fruition. And I look back and go, yeah, I should have perhaps had more faith in myself at that time. Mm. But trust it. And again, in terms of a kind of a tip is the accountability side. If you're in a business, a small business or a business on your own, having peers that can hold you accountable. I'm part of an accountability group within the Content Marketing Academy, and that's been hugely influential on me because they do kind of check in with you every week to make sure you're doing what you say you're going to be doing, which is a big plus, particularly when it can be quite lonely.
Yeah, I think this is, and even if you are in a larger organization and you're the sort of person leading the content marketing, it still can be lonely because a lot of people don't truly understand what it takes, and they don't see it from your perspective. So absolutely, I think having that accountability and having just generally, like you said, having people around you that get what you understand it from the way that you understand it, mm-hmm, and understand the challenges you're going to go through is super important.
Yeah.
Because you need to have that motivation, and sometimes you need to need someone to push you through, tell you you're being stupid, or tell you that you've, you know, to sort of reignite your faith sometimes in what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ross, it's been absolutely amazing speaking to you. Thanks very much for taking the time out today.
Thank you.
Like I said, I really am impressed with the work that you're doing, and I'm just excited for you about the opportunities that are coming up for you and the work that you've done and how you're becoming known in your space and how I think ultimately what's going to happen is that you're starting to dictate what is potentially going to happen in that space. You know, you're saying about how long a family business has been going for. It's only been the last 30 years or so there's been any sort of like consultancy effort. Mm-hmm. It's very early days, and it could be that you're the one that shapes the next, you know, the next 3 to 4 years of what happens in the space. So
that's the plan. So
yeah, it's exciting stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking the time. And if people want to pick your brain or ask you a question about anything that we've talked about today, where's the best place for them to find you and reach out to you?
Probably Twitter or LinkedIn. So my Twitter handle is @RussHayworth. I'm Russ Hayworth on LinkedIn. They can also find the podcast is @FanBizPodcast. But I tend to use the personal account more than that one. Any questions, I'm happy to help.
Awesome. We'll chuck those links into the show notes for everybody so they can go and connect with you, Russ. Thanks so much for taking the time out, mate. Have an amazing day, and I'll speak to you soon.